Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
When you run away from your sin, when I run away from my sin, we always run into God. When you and I realize that, you know, when we're the strongest is when we're the weakest, when we're broken. And now, look at the extremity that God went to break Jacob so he had a chance of living a life, living up to a name, Israel, Prince God.
The truth is, God can redeem your story no matter what you've done. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young finishes his message, Deception, and reveals how the Lord can redeem your mistakes and bless your home. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Deception, Part 2.
What we learned, did you see it up there? We learned that favoritism in the family is always disastrous. But we're going to learn something else, because he heads off now. He ends up at a place called Bethel. Now, Jake is on the lam. He is running, but notice the principle here. When you run away from your sin, when I run away from my sin, we always run into God. The last place we want to be is with God when we're caught in our conscience in our sin. I was reading, a lot of people don't come to church, regardless of what they tell you. You know, that's where God is. Oh, man, the way I'm living, that's the last place I want to be. But you see, you can't run away from your sin, because when you do, you always run to God. We see that's exactly what happened to this con artist, Jacob. Look at it over there as he runs all the way to Bethel. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba. This is the 28th chapter. And went toward Haran, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, put it on his head. He lay down for a place to sleep. I guess you would think, you know, here he is guilty. He's done all these sorry things to his brother. He's running for his life. Man, now he is trying to go to sleep. I guess he'd have a hard time sleeping, wouldn't he? You know, he'd got all this guilt. But look what happened. This is one of the amazing things in all the Bible right here. God comes to him. And he blesses him. He honors him. He tells him what a great life he's going to have. And he says, man, I've got great stuff. Here is this scum, this slick, who has conned his whole family in one way or another, and he's running for his own life, and he meets God, and look what God promises. It's wonderful. He says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your Isaac, and the God of Abraham, he just lied to, the land on which you lie, I will give to you, and your descendants, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad the west, the east, the north, the south. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now look at this. Get this in context. Here is Jacob afraid, running by himself, going out in another part of the country. It's night. He feels guilt, and God comes and says, here's stairs reaching all the way up to heaven. And at the top of those stairs is the Lord God himself. And right on the other side is the gate of heaven. He opens up heaven to Jacob and fills it up with all these promises of what God had built in his life and what he would accomplish and what he would do when he was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. My, the grace of God. My, the patience of God. My, the long, long view of life with God. How overwhelming this is to me. It's overwhelming to you too. You'd think God would zap him, condemn him, let a little lightning come, bang, Jake, you sorry scoundrel. No, God just came with grace and love and forgiveness and promises, and he has a stairway that leads all the way to heaven. By the way, you think heaven's far away? It's not. It's just up those stairs, and angels were coming down and ministering to him. Angels were going up, and there was the Lord God, and there was the very gate of heaven. That's how close it is. That's how close it is. And he showed this to a deceiver, Jacob. What do we learn from that? We learn that when we sin, we run away from our sin, we always ran into God, but God there didn't just zap Jacob. He loved him and promised him and showed him the gate of heaven. Magnificent. Unbelievable. And how long do you think that Jake got a chance to look into heaven? I don't know. I guess about 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Then he gets up, and now he's going to meet his match. He's going to Haran. He's going to move in with and be a part of the family of his sister, Rebecca. Not a beautiful mother, was she? Brother. He meets Laban, who was as big a con artist as Jacob. And that's what we learn there in this new situation, this new environment of Jacob, that con artists always end up getting conned. Yeah. I can remember years back, we had in our church two guys that I happen to know who were big-time operators. You know, you've seen them, big-time operator. I mean, they had deals going. They were wheeling and dealing. But I discovered pretty quickly they were absolutely four flushers. You couldn't trust them to walk across the street. But they were wheelers and dealers, and they were always working and scamming and had things going. And they didn't know one another, but I was in a restaurant, and I saw them sitting together. They met in church. And I thought to myself, boy, that's going to be a great relationship. I couldn't make this up. A year, a little more later, they were both in courts of law suing one another in a business deal they got together. Con artists always get consed. Or if you want to say it, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Or what goes around comes around. You can say it in many different ways. And that's exactly what happened when Jacob meets his soon-to-be father-in-law, Laban. But look what's happened. I love the story. Here when he goes to Haran, chapter 29, and Laban said to Jacob, go back to the first part of that. The first time Jacob saw Rachel at a well, get this, it came to pass When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, that'll tell you something, and the sheep of Laban and his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone for the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. The first time he saw her, he kissed her and shouted, "Whoa!" and cried. Man, they didn't kiss on the first date. They kissed before they ever had a date. Bible. And then later on, we read that, verse 18, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. Your younger daughter. Leah was the older daughter of Laban. So he worked for 7 years. And it says in the Bible, those 7 years, because he loved Rachel so much, seemed like just a few days. You know, that's love, isn't it? And then there arranged a wedding. Remember who he's dealing with, con artist, Laban. And so they have a big, elaborate wedding. I'm sure there was too much drinking going on. And the bride came out all dressed and covered in veils, et cetera, et cetera. And so they had the wedding, and they went in for the wedding night. And there was Jacob, sort of, you know, all these years he'd worked for Rachel. And the next morning he wakes up, he looks at his bride. Oh, he said, whoa, behold, it was Leah. Now, you talk about a slick operator, was that Laban. I mean, he worked 7 years to marry Rachel, and here he was, he married Leah, the younger sister. We don't know what was wrong with her. The Bible says she had weak eyes. I don't know what that means. And then now, Jacob, the con artist, had been conned, the ultimate con. Never heard of anything like it before since. Now he goes to Laban and he just explodes. And Laban says, cool down. You know, you have to marry the younger one first. That's in our culture. And so he then married Rachel. Now he has both the daughters. And then he worked 7 more years, 14 years. He has both the daughters of Laban. And he has a couple of concubines. And 21 years, he had 11 children, and he was a wealthy man because he had fleeced Laban with some selective breeding, and he ended up with more cattle and more possessions than his father-in-law had. And now he's ready to take off, and he goes by the cover of darkness, paraphrasing, he goes by the cover of darkness, and he's running back to home, his hometown, going back to Beersheba. But Laban catches him and challenges him. Until finally they come to agreement, and here you have what's called the Mizpah blessing. Have you heard of that? Oh, we've heard that quoted so piously. May the Lord watch over you and me while we're absent one from another. And we use that so piously. But that was a blessing when Laban, the con artist, met this con artist that we're looking at, Jacob, and this is what the blessing was. They were saying, you sorry scum, may the Lord watch you when I'm not with you, and may the Lord watch over you, you scum, when I'm not with you. That's what that blessing is, folks. So Jacob takes off. But I think he's got a problem, don't you? He's got to go back home, but guess who's at home? Oh, Esau. I wonder if Esau's got over the fact he stole his inheritance and stole his blessing. I wonder if he has withdrawn that contract he put on Jacob. Kill him on sight. So he sends some gifts ahead to Esau and told his servant to say, oh, my Lord Esau, your servant Jacob is coming. He wants you to have all these gifts so he'd find favor with you. And the servant did that, and the servant comes back. He said, how did Esau respond? He said he didn't say anything. He just started this way with 400 men. Read it. You read it. And Jacob said, So he sends some more gifts to him, the same message and more gifts, until finally he ends up there by himself. He has sent all of his children, all of his family, all his possessions, all the goats, all the cows, all the camels, all the sheep. He sent everything over across the Jabbok River. And he says, I give everything I have to you, Esau. He's trying to save his hide. Tell me the Bible doesn't tell it like it is, folks. They haven't read it very carefully, have they? And now he's going back home to meet Esau, and he's run out of things he can do, and now he is by himself at a place called Peniel. And we're going to see what he learned at Peniel. It is that true repentance always leads to brokenness. He's at Peniel. He sent his whole possession. He sent all of his wives, all four of them over there to his brother. He sent all his sheep, all of his oxen. He's by himself there. It is night. And then if you read carefully, he even prays to God and says, God, oh, Father, you promised you would make out of me a great people, that you'd protect me. And he reminds God of promises he'd made to him years before. I mean, he covers everybody. What scum? What kind of rascal is this? Reminding God of what he said, how about that? I mean, how foolish, how arrogant, how pagan can you get? God, you promised. And now he's by himself. And he's frightened. Esau keeps coming with 400 men. Doesn't look too good, does it? And then you read carefully the Bible. I wish I had time to exegete every word for you. Take my word for it. We use this as Jacob wrestling with God in prayer. Oh, no, 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 no. It was the angel of the Lord who grabbed Jacob. He grabbed Jacob. Jacob didn't grab God. He grabbed Jacob, and they began to have a wrestling match. High school wrestling used to be, I don't know about now, you'd have 3 rounds, 2 minutes each. Oh, that's 6 minutes. This wrestling match took place all night. Jacob, con artist, slick, run out of all things he could do to save his hide, to protect himself. He'd given up all of it. How sorry, how low down he was. But now God, an angel, divinity, grabs him and holds onto him, and they battle all night until finally God touches his hip and Jacob is crippled. His hip, he can't go. He's finished. He's done for. He's lost. Now he was weak. Now he has nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. And this divine person says, Jake, let go of me. You see, he'd lost, but he's clinging. And then the question comes. The angel asks him, what is your name? That's what his father had asked him. He lied to him twice. Now the angel asks, what is your name? He said, I'm Jacob. I'm scum. I'm slick. I'm a con artist. I'm a liar. I'm all into myself. I care nothing about you or anybody. I'm at the end. Confession. Honest confession. Nowhere to go. Bottomed out. And then the angel says, you're not going to be called slick any longer. Con artist, liar, cheat, double dealing, dirty, rotten. Oh, no. He's, I'm going to give you a new name, and I'm going to name you Israel. 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 Prince of God. Power with God. You're Israel. The Bible says the sun came up, and now Jacob, no, Israel, stands and goes to meet Esau. But he has the rest of his life a divine limp. Divine limp. Because he had confessed, he had gotten right with God, And now he was ready to face his brother and to face life. Now, make no mistake about it. There was still a residue, if you read the rest of Jacob's life, a residue of this same kind of sliminess that we have seen. But yet now we have a new man, beginning of redemption, a divine limp. I wish I had time to read the rest of the story. Esau came and saw him and ran on him and kissed him, and they embraced it all. What a fabulous, fabulous moment. Divine limp. When you and I realize that, you know, when we're the strongest is when we're the weakest, when we're broken. And now look at the extremity that God went to break Jacob so he had a chance of living a life, living up to a name, Israel, Prince, God.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Throughout the Old Testament, Dr. Young, God uses characters with some pretty scandalous pasts. Do you think God still uses people like that today?
Thank God he does, or you and I are in trouble. Yes, God's grace is all sufficient. His love includes anybody and everybody, anytime, anywhere, any place. And we need to recognize that. You look at the Bible, it has so much candid honesty in it. And you say, my goodness, how could Abraham, of all people, pass his wife off as his sister to protect his hide? And then we look in the mirror and say, look at that in my life. Or we look at others. The beautiful thing is that Jesus takes the least, the last, the lost, the broken, those that others have thrown away, and he brings them back to him, and he gives them forgiveness and a new life and a new about face so they can function and glorify him forever and forever. Jesus specialized on throwaways. One of the problems you and I have when they come and meet with us or they go to church is bad people, adulterous people, sinning people, profane people, egotistical people, throwaways of society people. They went to Jesus. Why? For him to judge them? No, because they saw in him God. They saw in him forgiveness. They saw in him that second chance that we all need so many times through life. Yes, God can take anybody, anywhere, and whatever the circumstances, and make them into brand new people through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in next week as Dr. Young shares a special message about God's power to renew every life, and that means yours too. Have a great weekend.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.